Well, it's time to open up our Bibles. We've got Beth Seifert standing by with today's Bible study. Thanks for joining us, Beth.
Hey, Amy. Well, today we're going to see more battles that David is going to find himself in as he is establishing his kingdom. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to 2 Samuel chapter 8, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 18 today. After this, David defeated the Philistines and subdued them, and David took Metheg-Amma out of the hand of the Philistines. And he defeated Moab, and he measured them with a line, making them lie down on the ground. Two lines he measured to be put to death, and one full line to be spared. And the Moabites became servants to David and brought tribute. David also defeated Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah, as he went to restore his power at the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,700 horsemen and 20,000 foot soldiers. And David hamstrung all the chariot horses, but left enough for 100 chariots. And when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 men of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Aram of Damascus, and the Syrians became servants of David and brought tribute. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that were carried by the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem. And from Beta and from Berathai, cities of Hadadezer, King David took very much bronze. When Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated the whole army of Hadadezer, Toi sent his son Joram to King David to ask about his health and to bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had been at war with Toi. And Joram brought with him articles of silver, of gold, and of bronze. These also King David dedicated to the Lord, together with the silver and gold that he dedicated from all the nations he subdued, from Edom, Moab, the Ammonites, the Philistines, Amalek, and from the spoils of Hadadezer the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David made a name for himself, and when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt, then he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants. And the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. So David reigned over all Jerusalem, all Israel. And David administered justice and equity to all his people. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. And Jehoshaphat, the son of Ahilud, was recorder. And Zadok, the son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, the son of Abiathar, were priests. And Sarai was secretary. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were priests. Okay, this whole chapter is David's military conquests. David was a warrior, and this was his job, and he knows it. He's been given that direction from God to fight God's battles and deal with God's enemies with God's help. So we're going to look at these battles a little bit closer. The Philistines have been long-time enemies of Israel. Back when Samson was a judge, he weakened the Philistines but didn't defeat them. Throughout the time of Samuel and Saul, there were wars raged with the Philistines, but again, it was like a stalemate. So here we see that David has conquered them. He enters their land instead of the other way around, and he takes it from them. Next, David went to Moab. Even though David has familial ties to Moab, and the king of Moab had shown some favor to David when he was fleeing Saul by allowing Saul's family to live in Moab, now that David is the king and not a mutual enemy of Saul, the people and the king of Moab were now openly hostile to David. So David goes to Moab and makes them his subjects as well. Incidentally, that fulfills a prophecy from Numbers 24, verses 15 through 19, specifically verse 17, which says, "And he took up his discourse and said, the oracle of Balaam, the son of Beor, the oracle of the man whose eye is opened, the oracle of him who hears the words of God and knows the knowledge of the Most High, who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down with his eyes uncovered, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be dispossessed. Seir also, his enemies, shall be dispossessed. Israel is doing valiantly. And one from Jacob shall exercise dominion and destroy the survivors of these cities." Now, when David destroys Moab, he does this funny thing and makes them all be counted. Now, I did a lot of looking into this one because this didn't make sense to me. It doesn't say here two equal lines. It just says he made them lie down in lines. But one line of people he puts to death, and the other one saves. The implication is that the one line that he spared was significantly larger or full, and that was the one he spared. So it isn't that David split the people straight in half and then killed half of them here, but he did kill many. So the Moabites now pay a yearly tribute to David, and they continue to pay that tribute to David's son and grandson until the tribes of Israel and Judah split. Then we get a list of the battles and such that David fights. We see him taking chariots and horses and shields of gold from the king of Zobah after ensuring that the horses left would be useless for war. But then the Syrians come to aid the king of Zobah, and David and his men kill 22,000 of them and set up groups of soldiers in Syria to make sure that the country is subject to him. And God protected David wherever he went, so David was not killed, or it seems even really injured. We have no mention of him ever being injured significantly in battle. And David took all of those things from those different lands and brought back the bounty that he'd brought back to be melted down and to be put to use in the building of the temple. We see he claims brass, which will be used in the temple as well. Then another small kingdom hears of David's victory and sends congratulations to David for defeating the king of Zobah, who apparently was also his enemy. And this kingdom gives David a present of vessels of silver, gold, and brass. Now, he may have been seeking protection under David with this move, or he may simply have been seeking an ally. David takes all of that silver and gold and devotes it to the building of the temple as well. We see that the spoils he took from war, David gave back to God. We see that David did know of the verse in Deuteronomy 17:17, which says, "And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold." He obeyed the part of that that dealt with not storing up wealth for yourself as king. But remember, he didn't obey the whole no multiple wives part. And he set the spoils apart and left that for Solomon, who will use all of that to build God's temple. And because of David's military success, he's gaining a name among the nations for himself. We also see that he meets success against the Edomites, who had partnered with the Syrians to attack David. Afterward, he puts garrisons in Edom as well to keep the inhabitants subject to him, which coincidentally was further fulfillment of the prophecy of the oracle to Rebekah. Not coincidentally, there's no such thing. Rebekah gave birth to twins, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the oldest, but the prophecy said that the older would serve the younger. Jacob was the father of Judah, who was the ancestor of David. The Edomites were descendants of Esau. So here we see the descendants of the elder serving the descendants of the younger. Again, we see that that God is the one who is giving David victory and protecting David as he engages all these foes. When David returned from his wars, he ruled over all of Israel, dealing with the internal issues of the people, administering justice according to God's law, not man's opinion or bias. If you recall from lesson 79, when they came up against the Jebusites, who made the comments about the blind and the lame, and David makes the offer that whoever takes the Jebusites shall be his general, it appears that Joab was the successful one, because we see in verse 16 that Joab is the one who is over the army. We see Jehoshaphat, who was basically David's secretary or counselor, taking note of all these battles and going on, and we see the priests. We also see David's secretary of state. We see his bodyguards, and then his sons. Now, the word priests, as used here, didn't mean necessarily priests serving in the temple, but could also mean like chief rulers. And since David's sons weren't from the Levites, most likely that's what he's meaning. Like they were kind of co-leading with him. They were princes, and they also helped their father rule. David was a true theocratic king. He ruled over the people with his eyes on God the whole time. He knew who the real king was, and he wasn't bothered by that. Unlike Saul, who wanted more for himself, David followed God's commands and gave God the glory for the victories. Today, I want us to be encouraged by David. Do you see how God has blessed and protected David in all of this? David did not have a me, me, me outlook on life. He loved and served God. And do you see the blessings that came to him because of that? Now remember, David's confidence was not in himself, it was in God. And that's what made all the difference in all of these conquests. I know that when I try to do it all myself, I fail miserably. First of all, I get stressed. Second, I get snarky and snappy, and then I get overwhelmed as I see all of the things that are not getting done. When I start to get stressed, if I take a step back and say, okay, God, slow me down, show me what is important today, and help me to just let go of the rest, things suddenly get done quicker and easier, and I'm much more pleasant to be around because I am listening for God's directions on what to focus on. It's no longer my agenda, but His. And I trust that He'll find the time for me to do all the things that He wants me to do, even if that means my entire list doesn't get crossed off. So today I would ask that you would look back over the last 6 months or over the last year, the past 2 years. Look at all the things that God has brought you to. Consider the times when you relied on Him for strength and how God brought you through them. Consider the times when you relied on yourself for strength and the difference in the process and the result. Which way was truly better? Which way was beneficial? Think about that today. Think about your day, and if you're feeling stressed and overwhelmed, let it go and give it to God. Accept the peace that He offers you. He loves you and He wants you to have peace, not be a frazzled mess trying to get it all done. Let it go. Will the world really end if you don't dust and vacuum today? Will all those I should errands really haunt you if you skip them today? Unless it's for groceries, you might want to eat. Let God direct your day and your attitude, and see what your day becomes. He may lead you to something that's harder than you thought, or He may lead you to something that is more restful than you ever imagined, but you'll never know if you keep following your own agenda.
Well, thank you, Beth. And Beth's study guides, as well as the 10-minute podcasts of these presentations, are all available in our archives under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back with more on this in just a moment.